give him what he wants, likes, needs. How about this? Give him what he deserves. How would our Christmas presents change if we all got what we deserved all those years? A lot of us would have gotten a lot more coal in our stockings, I think. Give him what he deserves. Well, who? We're going to talk about what we need to give God today. It is a season where everybody's giving and receiving gifts, and it's all exciting, and everybody... Maybe. I used to think everybody enjoyed this time of year, but I guess there are a few Scrooges around that are all bah humbug and don't like giving and don't like Christmas time and all those things. But for the most part, we like to give and we like to receive and we enjoy the exchange. Our family has an ornament exchange. Everybody brings an ornament and you take turns and everybody winds up taking an ornament home for their tree or whatever. And we enjoy that, getting together with family and eating food that you should never eat, but you get to eat it because it's okay that particular day, and that kind of thing. But we enjoy that. And Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Little children don't really understand that. Boy, to them it's all about the getting. What am I getting? What am I getting? Where are my presents? And all that thing. And sometimes as adults, we still keep that childish attitude. But if we'll grow up a little bit, now that's not to say we don't enjoy getting a present, but if we'll grow up a little bit, we'll find out that giving is actually a lot more enjoyable. It's a lot more fun, especially when you can give somebody something that's just right, and to see the look on their face, or to see their gratitude for it. Certainly it's not much fun giving to somebody who isn't grateful for receiving those things. We need to remember that when we're receiving. We need to remember to be grateful, have that attitude of gratitude. Giving is a very popular subject in the Bible. In fact, altogether, give, giveth, gave, given, givest, gift, gifts, present, present a gift. All of those types of words that we think about giving, all together, they are used over 2,000 times. In fact, 2,162 times in the Bible. Do you think God thinks giving is something that's important? He mentions it over 2,000 times? Well, certainly, He thinks that giving is an important thing. He Himself is a giver, and He created us in His image. So one of the things that we ought to be is givers like Him. But we want to focus not on our gifts to one another or gifts to strangers or others out there. But today we want to talk about giving Him what He deserves. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 17, they tried to trick Jesus by asking Him about paying taxes. And He had them bring Him some money. And He says, whose is this? And they said, it's got Caesar's picture on it. And so Jesus says in verse 17, render to Caesar, give to Caesar, some translations translate that, the things that are Caesar's, and give to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at Him. But what are the things that are God's? What are the things that we ought to give to God? What are the things He deserves? What are the things He expects us to give Him? We want to please Him, we have to give Him what He deserves. We'll run through a few of these. I'm not going to begin to say that I have exhausted the list of all the things that we should give Him or all the things He deserves. But we're only here for about 30 more minutes, so we'll just look at these few this morning. We got a dozen. That's one for each of the days of Christmas, and the 12 days of Christmas. Never figured out how there were 12 days of Christmas, but getting all those gifts sounded good. But these are 12 things, a dozen things that we need to give Him that He deserves. First of all, we need to give Him our thanks. We need to give Him thanks. Psalm 75 and verse 1. This particular psalm is a song of Asaph, not David this time around. A lot of songs of David in the Psalms, but this one is one of Asaph. Unto Thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto Thee do we give thanks, for that the name is near, Thy wondrous works declare. That was so good he repeated it twice. Unto Thee we give thanks. Unto Thee we give thanks. Do we give thanks to the Lord like He deserves? In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is God's will? God's will is that we give thanks to Him in everything. Now notice, He didn't say for everything. We don't want to thank God for the devil and all that kind of, you know, we're just thanking for everything. Well, no, you know, but in everything, in whatever the situation is, whatever the circumstance, whatever's happening, we give God thanks. I remember one family. Their college-age son was in the wrong place at the wrong time and got hit by a bullet in a drive-by shooting at a gas station. And I remember after that event, and I thought about, you know, how hard that would be to lose a young child, a teenager, young adult, under those circumstances. But I remember time and time again, whenever someone was talking with him about losing his son, he would just say, God is so good. God is good. Was he thankful that his son got shot and killed? No. But was he going to give thanks to God in spite of that? Yes. And that's part of giving thanks. In everything, give thanks. Whatever happened. It may not have been the thing that we wanted to have happen, but we still give thanks to God regardless of the circumstances. Second thing we want to notice is that we need to give Him glory. Luke chapter 17 and verses 17 and 18. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? He had healed 10 lepers. And only one of them came back to thank Him and to say something about it. He says, but where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. It's interesting, the one that came back to give glory to God wasn't even one of the Jewish ones that had been healed. It was a heathen. It was a Gentile. A stranger that came back. Now, we might think that giving glory to God is similar to giving thanks, and that we would be correct, it is similar. But God is to be glorified. He deserves all the glory that we can give. In fact, in Acts chapter 12 and verse 23, Herod was speaking, and the people were so impressed with his eloquence that they proclaimed, it's the voice of a God and not a man. And Herod accepted that glory and that praise and that high honor to which he had no right. And verse 23 of Acts chapter 12 says, immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. He died right then and there. Because he did not give God the glory for the things that God deserved the glory for. We better beware of that. Take glory to ourselves like Herod did, and we will get on God's bad side. We don't want to be on God's bad side. And then we want to notice also along these same lines is praise. He deserves praise. In Psalm 57 in verse 7, the psalmist says, "My heart is fixed, O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." We have a little short song. It's called Doxology in the song, some, a lot of the song books. It's just about two lines long, only one little verse. I used to love when I was a young man learning to lead singing, I'd get up and say, "We're going to sing number such and such, and we're going to sing all the verses." Whole two lines, you know. That was an easy one for a new guy learning to lead a song because it was only two lines long. But it says, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And it talks about who needs to praise God, and it lists, "Praise Him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Him below. Praise Him, all creatures." And it just goes through the list. Everybody ought to praise God. You know, when we read in the Bible of scenes of heaven, one of the things that we see in those scenes is every time there are either angels or some sort of creatures or some sort of beings that are there before the throne of God, and all they do all the time is praise Him. In one case, there are 12 elders who have crowns, and they take their crowns and they throw their crowns at His feet, and they say, they praise Him. And we need to praise God. We need to praise Him continually and constantly and consistently. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 18 and verse 43. Jesus heals a blind man, and after he received his sight, he followed Jesus, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. You see, when we glorify God, when we magnify God, when we lift God up, then people will praise God. If we lift ourselves up and toot our own horns all the time, then people are distracted away from their need to praise God. We need to be pointing people toward God. The fourth thing we want to notice is that we need to give ourselves. We need to give Him ourselves. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Everything that we are physically, we need to give it to God. We need to give it to Him. All of our abilities, all of our talents, all that we are, we give ourselves in that sense. But in a spiritual sense as well, we give ourselves to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5, Paul talks about the Macedonians who, they didn't have a whole lot to give, but they gave even more than you would have expected them to be able to give. Out of their poverty they gave. And he says of those people, "This they did not as we hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." If we give ourselves to God first, then we won't be stingy with anything else, because everything else then already belongs to Him. Anything that I would say, "Well, that's mine," if I've given myself to Him, then it's His. Everything that was mine becomes His when I give myself to Him. And so we need to give ourselves to Him. This one's a little unusual, but we need to give Him our ears. We need to give ear. We need to give heed. We need to listen to Him. Isaiah 1 and verse 10 says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." Now, obviously, Sodom and Gomorrah had been destroyed. Isaiah's not talking to them. They're dead and long gone. He's talking to the Jews of his day and saying, they are Sodom and Gomorrah. And sometimes, Christian people go off into the way of sin and need to be called back. They need to give ear to God and give ear to His law. Different law than it was in Isaiah's time, but still the law nonetheless. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. The Hebrew writer says, therefore, because of what he just said at the end of chapter 1, but he says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. He warns us, we don't want to become like those people Isaiah was talking to. We don't want to be Sodom and Gomorrah. We need to give heed, pay earnest attention to those things we've heard. Well, the only way that's going to work is if we listen. We've got to open our ears and hear God's Word, and then give heed to it. Listen to it and obey it. Then we need also, number 6, to give Him our voice. Give Him our voice. And there are 4 ways that we need to do that. The first is to confess. Romans chapter 14 and verse number 11 tells us that. Before we get to that, let's read Acts 4:24. It says, "And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God which hast made heaven and earth and sea and all that in them is." They lifted up their voice to God. They voiced to Him the things that they should have voiced. One of those things is confession. We need to confess. Romans 14:11. "For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." We're going to confess, one way or another. We have the choice. We can confess to God of our own free will now, or on the day of judgment, when every knee bows and every tongue confesses, but when it's too late for that to save us, then we can kneel and confess to Him. So we have a choice. Now we will. If we confess now, if we bow before Him now, if we kneel to His will now, then obviously on the day of judgment we will again. But oh, for those people who refuse to do it now. We need to give Him our voice. We need to use our tongue to confess to God. We also need to give our voice in prayer. We need to pray. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Got these out of order. Sings first on your outline, but I'm skipped one. I've got mine out of order somehow. So we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get back to singing. But prayer is important. Luke 6 and verse 12. "It came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." You know, sometimes we think about what's often called the Lord's Prayer, that little thing that you can read in about 15 seconds, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be," you know that one? We think about that. Now, on this occasion, Jesus went out in the mountain alone, and I don't think He prayed that prayer. He prayed all night long. You ever have anybody that, a friend or a family member, maybe somebody you hadn't seen in a long time, you got together and you ever stay up all night talking with them? Maybe some of you never stayed up all night ever, you know, even when you were a teenager or whatever. But I can remember doing that. I can remember somebody, you know, being so excited to be with them and didn't have a lot of time and staying up all night talking with them. And then going to breakfast the next morning. But that's what Jesus did with His Father. He stayed up all night talking to Him. You have that kind of relationship with God that you give Him your voice in prayer. Oh, not just at the dinner table when you say, "Thank you, God, for our food." Not just when we're together at church and somebody's leading a prayer. But do you ever just want to talk to Him? Just want to spend all night praying to Him? Most of us probably fall asleep before we got through the night, but do we ever spend that kind of time in prayer? Or any time for that matter? Aside from the obligatory prayer before we eat, well, let's say grace, do we really pray? Do we really pray? He deserves for us to talk to Him. And He expects us to talk to Him. Well, let's go back and look at singing again. We need to sing with our voice. Now, obviously, there are some people for whom that is an impossibility, because they can't talk, can't speak, can't sing. But even those of us who maybe can't carry a tune very well, we're still expected to sing, make that joyful noise to the Lord. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, "By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name." Now obviously this wouldn't have to be singing. It's possible that this could be, you know, simply verbally giving praise. But we need to think about it in terms of singing as well. We need to sing. Ephesians 5:19, also, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." He wants us to sing to Him. He expects it, and He deserves it. This last one, to witness. Now, testify. And I know the denominational world uses these terms. And obviously, we can't be witnesses like the apostles were. They saw the Lord and they testified of that, and they were His witnesses. He told them they would be. But we can still tell the things we've seen and heard. We can, like the man that Jesus cast the legion of demons in. He told that man, "Go tell what the Lord has done for you." We can do that. We can go tell people, "Hey, you know, I used to do it this way, and I've learned better. I don't live like that anymore." We can go tell people how the Lord has changed our lives. And then that's part of confessing Him. Jesus said, "If you won't confess Me, then I won't confess you before My Father in heaven." We've got to speak out to people about the Lord and about what He's done for us. Now, Acts 4 and verse 33, the New Testament church, and the apostles particularly, says that with great power the apostles gave witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now obviously we didn't witness the resurrection like the apostles did, and we can't be witnesses to that. But you know, we have witnessed some people change their lives because of the power of the gospel. And we can tell about that. We need to mention it. We need to bring it up. We need to consider also one of the things that He deserves that we need to give Him is service. In Romans 12:1 we saw a reasonable service. But here in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, we are told, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" We need to serve Him. One of the ways we do that is by serving one another. We have freedom in Christ, but we're warned not to let that freedom be an excuse for us to live in sin, but instead to serve one another. So we serve one another, and that's one of the ways that we serve Him, is by serving His children. But we need to serve the living God. We need to do those things that He wants us to do. And that's part of giving Him what He deserves. We need to give Him our submission, our obedience. James 4 and verse 7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." God deserves to be number one in everyone's life. A distant number one. I mean, nobody else and nothing else should even come close to Him in our lives. Our submission to Him should be absolute. It should be in every area, in every action, in every thought. We talked in class this morning about bringing every thought into captivity. It ought to be absolute submission. It's not. None of us have reached that state of perfection. At least I don't think anybody... Okay, I didn't think so. But none of us have reached that perfection in submitting to Him in everything all the time. That's what we keep striving for. But we need to be submitting to Him. We need to submit ourselves to God. We need to obey Him in everything. And you know, sometimes we may say, well, that's just a little thing. But I obey Him in the big things. You know, it's interesting. We think exactly backwards from God on that. Jesus told at least a couple of different parables, and at the end of them He drew the conclusion and He said, "Whoever is faithful in what is little will be given much." He said, if you're not faithful in that which is least, how can you be expected to be faithful in what's greater? Now, that's exactly the opposite of the way we think in our society today. We think, well, I wouldn't trust him with $10, but he'd never steal $1,000,000. Well, let me tell you, if he'd steal $10 and he'd steal that million in a hurry if he had the opportunity. Or he'd steal that $10 enough times that it turned into $1,000,000. You see, we think, well, you can't trust him with a little bit, but they're okay on the big things. But that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus taught. Jesus said, if you can't be trusted in the little things, then you sure can't be trusted with the big things. And so sometimes we think, well, you know, I obey God in the big things, it's just this little thing over here. No. If we're not obeying Him in the little things, we're not obeying Him in the big things either. We just are deceiving ourselves. We need to give Him fear and honor. Romans 13 and verse 7. "Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear is due, honor to whom honor is due." Who is due more fear and honor than our God? Our God is a consuming fire, the Bible says. Our God is a rock. Our God is awesome. That word gets thrown around a lot in our society today. But God truly is awesome. Something that inspires awe. It ought to, every time we think of Him, our mind should be awed by His greatness. We need to give Him honor. We need to give Him fear. Our respect that goes along with that honor. We need to give Him our worship. Luke chapter 4 and verse 8. Jesus says, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve." He's the only one that we should be worshiping and serving in that way. No one else. No idols, no people, not self, not king, nor country, only God. We worship Him. We bow down. We kneel before Him. We recognize our own unworthiness in His presence. We worship the Lord our God. We need to give Him that worship because He deserves it. He created everything, and everything that has the ability should worship Him. That being us human beings and the angels and beings in heaven. The animals don't know how to worship, but us human beings do. And then we need to give Him our money. Now, if we've already given Him ourselves, then whatever money we have is His already anyway. But we need to give Him our money. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's something we're reminded of every first day of the week when we come together to partake of the Lord's Supper, and then after that, we have the opportunity to give of our means. And we should be reminded as we do that that we didn't get all that by our own power. It's by the grace of God that we were allowed to have that. Think about the prayer that Xander said, thank you for letting us keep the money we get from our job. You know, he didn't have to let us keep it. He could just take it all away. But He allows us to have certain money, certain resources, but He expects us to give Him what He deserves out of that. And then the last thing we want to notice is that we have to give Him an account. Not a bank account, not that kind of an account. We have to give an account for our lives. Romans chapter 14 and verses 11 and 12 says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12, that one sounded familiar, didn't it? Verse 12, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And for all you herselfs out there, you're included in that. Even though it says himself, that's you too. Every one of us is going to give an account. We've got to go ahead now. Give an account. The psalmist asked God, it says, search me, O God. Look at my way. Judge me. Go ahead. Judge me now. And see where I am. Help me see it for myself. Help me see if there's things that aren't living up to your standards. If my account isn't in balance, let me know it now, so I can correct that. Go ahead, give an account to God. Are you giving God what He deserves? Are you ready to give an account for what you have given Him, or to be called in to account for what you haven't given Him? What about it? If you're not a Christian here this morning, you haven't given Him yourself. And that's first on His list of the things He wants. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants everyone to come give themselves to Him. If you are unwilling to do that, if you're unwilling to believe in Jesus Christ, if you're unwilling to repent of your sin, to confess Jesus as the Christ, and to be buried with Him in baptism to wash your sins away and become His child. If you're unwilling to do that, if you refuse, then on Judgment Day, you'll have to stand and give an account for why you didn't give yourself to Him. For why you didn't submit to Him, why you didn't obey, why you didn't fear Him and honor Him enough to do what He commanded. If you're here this morning and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't done those things that you should, you haven't given Him what He deserves in your life, you need to repent of that. You need to come back to Him and offer Him those things that He so richly deserves. Whatever need you may have this morning, whether it be to give God yourself or to give Him something that He deserves, or whether it be to repent of some other sin in your life, Please respond as we stand and sing the invitation song.